Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and the doors were open today. It's the first time the doors have been open to see the Mountaineers play basketball. Technically, the event at Woodburn outside, no doors. You just walked up and they were playing outside in the dark outdoors. They weren't playing basketball. They were shooting, getting to be with the fans. The photos looked amazing. But this was inside. Doors were open. And they rolled out the carpet. They did all the stuff. Exhibition, public exhibition against Wheeling University. And West Virginia handily defeated the Cardinals 80-54. 80 points scored. So that is definitely more in line with a Ross Hodge final score, getting to 80 than the 95 they got in the closed door scrimmage. What was interesting, you know, head coach Neil Brown, once again, everything balances out. Honor Huff, Trace and Eagle staff, a combined 16 threes in the closed door scrimmage. You open the doors and they only make three, a combined three. And so that 13-point difference is almost exactly the difference between their 80 points with doors open and 95 versus Maryland with the doors closed. So, you know, I just hear, it's like, there's like a little Neil Brown on my shoulder saying, Josh, everything evens out. And it happened, and that's a thing with basketball. If you make them all one game, you're going to miss them all, regardless of if the door is being open, closed, slightly ajar. I have to agree with the Neil Brown on my shoulder that balances out. And I would rather have that in a game that doesn't count, that the guys who are snipers missing, because you want them to count. And so that's fine. And Honor Huff made a ton outside at Woodburn. And so he was on a heater, and so it's good to give the public some struggles from the three-point line because it didn't count, right? Now, Wheeling, similar to last preseason's Mountain East opponent, they are from the Mountain East Conference, not as good as University of Charleston. I would say Wheeling was smaller than University of Charleston. I looked, Wheeling hasn't finished a season with a winning record in a while that Charleston team last season did finish with more wins than losses. And the right after tip, Brendan Laurent is guarding a guy and Obi Oha the same, where it looked like if you ever went to basketball camp as a child, and I did that, I'm not bragging, Greg White basketball camp, he could spin the basketball on a toothbrush. He could spin the basketball on a book. Greg White can pretty much spin a basketball on anything. That's not the point. The point is sometimes the counselors who were, in Greg White's basketball camp's case, University of Charleston players or Marshall players, it'd be like if the counselors were playing against the students. And I'm with love and respect to the Wheeling Cardinals. Brendan Laurent looked like he was a camp counselor and he was guarding a child participant in a basketball camp. It was that disparaging from an athletic standpoint and just from a sheer size standpoint, which didn't stand out. There was a size and athleticism difference. Last offseason, it felt more so against Wheeling this year. And so it's hard to take a result from that. If you're starting from camp counselors versus the kids, then how much can you take from a game like that? So you just watch how they play together and the vibes. You know, I'm a vibes guy, and just let's look at what we can get from the result. Ross Hodge had 14 guys available. Jackson Fields in street clothes, not playing. No, I think Ross Hodge said after the game that he'll know Monday about his timeline, and he's improving and doing well, but in-street clothes wasn't available. 14 guys were available, 14 guys played, so the non-scholarship walk-on guys got to play, and Abe played the last 3 minutes of the game. Jaden Forsyth played 9 minutes, and they were all in the second half, and then everybody else besides the walk-ons and Abe played 15 or more minutes, and that was 9 guys. And so with Forsyth playing 9 minutes and he made 3 threes, he banked one in, I think there's a better chance after watching that game, there's a better chance of what I anticipated for Jaden Forsyth to get some play in the non-conference schedule, especially with Chance Moore being out the first 5 games and Jackson Fields not going to be available for the first, at least first game, and I don't know how many games before he's able to come play. Forsyth, tall. Yes, he banked that first three, but he's got a good shot, and he's got some size. A little bit lost on defense in his 9 minutes at times. You know, Ross Hodge, did he throw the kitchen sink at Wheeling? Did he pull out all the stops? He did not. When it's camp counselors versus kids, and especially if the guys who are closer in size to the other team are not making threes, then and maybe this was the plan all along, there wasn't a ton of driving the ball from the guards. It was, hey, get it to the tall guy inside and let him score over the smaller guy. And Obioha is 7 feet tall. And he stood out, and he scored a bunch of points. He led the team in scoring today. Lawrence was the second leading scorer. So that makes sense. When the guards did drive the ball, great things happen. It led to open shots. And Honor Huff, while he only made he made 2 threes today. The couple of times he tried to drive the ball, he's quick. And Jackson Fields, when he wanted to drive the ball, not as quick, but he is determined. He wants to get to the rim. I think he's going to find a way to do that. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but the quickness of Honor Huff was very apparent. Doesn't matter who he's playing against. No one got injured, which is always a good sign. You think about 2 exhibitions ago, poor a cook, and how bad that was. So no injuries, so that's awesome. No cramps, which was great. Usually here in the first part of the season, it's cramp season. And none of the guys cramped, to my knowledge. So that's very cool. West Virginia had only 2 fast break points, which again, more in line with what I think of with a Ross Hodge team. And I don't know what the pace was in the closed door game because the doors were closed. Didn't see it. Only the 90-second clip where there looked like there was more than 2 fast break points in that 90-second clip. So only 2 fast break points. Defense looked solid for the most part. Again, factoring in camp counselors versus participants. Huff was back down a few times by Wheeling, did get beat on a few backdoor cuts. I mentioned about Forsyth looking a little lost, but he's a freshman. Everything else looked good, but again, some of that, the level of competition. Amir Jenkins, he was a freshman, and the first time I've seen him play, he had an aggressive shoulder brace that took up most of the top of his torso. It seemed like a lot, but overall, you can tell he's super quick. DJ Thomas is not 6'7". He's listed at 6'7". And maybe he was 6'7" at some point in the last calendar year, but he played some reps at the 5. He's a bigger freshman than what I anticipated. WVU, yes, they missed a bunch of free throws. Seems like everyone had at least 1 turnover. Lorient, a willing passer, but had some air in the ball on a couple of his bounce passes that led to the ball going the other way. But overall, again, with the level of competition, it felt like a solid first impression. Coming out of the exhibition game last preseason, we saw a flaw against Charleston that proved out during the course of the season, and that was rebounding. Remember, Charleston had a 7-footer that WVU couldn't keep off the offensive glass. They got multiple second, third chance opportunities, a D2 school. And that concern that came out of that game proved to be true all season long. There really wasn't a glaring concern coming out of the Wheeling game. There wasn't a similar thing like that or where you point to and say, uh-oh, that's an issue. Other than, and this is more a credit to a guy than a concern for the team, I really liked when Chance Moore was on the floor in this exhibition game. And as I mentioned earlier, Chance Moore out for the first 5 games. He played 5 games in his freshman year at Arkansas, had to get a waiver, and the NCAA just, you know, willy-nilly, they just make it up as they go, say, all right, you owe us those 5 games from your freshman season, but you can play. So he's sitting out for those games. It's not going to matter if Chance Moore is in the building. I think it will matter in the game against better competition, which is Pittsburgh. I just really liked everything Moore did on both sides of the floor. Offensively, he can get to the rim. He's a good rebounder. Defensively, he had a couple of blocks. You can see his timing and his athleticism. I don't know, it's a competition, but I think that's going to translate against better competition as well. Chance was getting reps at the 4, no reps at the 5, but he's really good. I think he's really good and will be an important part of the rotation. And so to not have him in the first 5 games, and Pittsburgh being one of them, I would want him in the Pittsburgh game, and he's not going to be there.
The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You're listening to this podcast. You're a WVU fan. You go to Uncommon Goods, type in West Virginia University. They've got drinking glasses. They got a throw pillow. You can get a cheese board in the shape of West Virginia. All sorts of cool stuff. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
And I don't know if Fields is going to be able to play by the Pittsburgh game. And so then you've got a freshman, DJ Thomas. Again, taller than 6'7", seems like very put together for a freshman. Like, it looks strong, and he's only going to get stronger. But he's a freshman, and that's what it is. And so a freshman playing against more established competition, that might be a challenge in that Pittsburgh game. How will West Virginia adapt? Well, I think you might see some Forsythe. And Roz Hodge talked about maybe seeing some 4-guard lineups while Chance Moore is out and with Jackson Fields out. So you may see some Chase and Eagle staff getting reps at the 4 and being one of those 4 guards, even though he's listed as a forward, as we talked about. So overall, it's good to see the only concern from the exhibition is a guy who you really like wanting to be out there when he can't be out there. I'll take that. I'll take that as a good first impression of Roz Hodges' first Mountaineer basketball team. I have some non-basketball observations being in the building. The first two are music related. First of all, the national anthem, the person who sang it, it was a throwback in that there was a key change in the middle of that rendition, which is always jarring. And that seemed like more of a guy thing. This was a lady that sang the national anthem. So that's, I find that refreshing to just switch it up and just change the key of the song in the middle. There was also plenty of modulation in the voice, which feels like a throwback. I don't hear people putting mustard on the national anthem like this person did. And then there were three endings to the song. Like you thought, the crowd thought she was done, started applauding, and then she had two more endings to the song. And the endings outlasted the applause. Which is great. I feel like that's a nice throwback. These are all positive things. Like I enjoyed the key changes and the modulation and the... Did you see the last Lord of the Rings movie in the trilogy where that had multiple endings? Same thing with the national anthem. And, you know, it's been a while since that third Lord of the Rings movie. Spoiler alert. So shout out to the national anthem singer. The other shout out goes to the pep band drummer. This guy, I mean, the effort on the floor, I think, was pretty solid from both teams. The most effort in the building was the pep band drummer. That guy was on one. And I'm excited to see them cut to the pep band during broadcast. And when I'm in the Coliseum again, or if I go to Charleston to see the game against Wake Forest, I'm looking for that guy. Speaking of movies, have you seen the movie Whiplash? The pep band was playing a song during the game that sounded like a song that come from the movie Whiplash. And the drummer, very animated, had to be sweating profusely. He was doing it all with a Flying WV hat on. He was basically Miles Teller from Whiplash. And he's in our pep band, West Virginia's pep band. It was awesome. He was 100% effort, full of energy, loved what he was putting out. Shout out to the pep band drummer. The last observation was food related. You know the area of the Coliseum where it's like a mini mart where you can go in, you can get your 20-ounce, you can grab some popcorn, grab a pepperoni roll. Well, in the corner of the mini mart at the Coliseum, they had the hot section, and the hot section had two items, okay? One was very descript, and one was nondescript. And I'm sure if I asked somebody, I could figure out the other one. But the two items, one was pizza, and everybody knows what pizza is. And it, you know, the variables, it could be a slice, it could be like a little mini pizza, but pizza is pizza, all right? The second item was a sandwich, okay? And the more specific, if you wanted to get more information on that sandwich, the descriptive word that came before sandwich was hot. So they had pizza and they had hot sandwiches, and they were wrapped in the foil looking wrapper. And I could have asked somebody, hey, what's the hot sandwich today? And they could have told me. And does that narrow it down what kind of sandwich it is when you say what the temperature is? I guess so. It's not a cold cut sandwich, right? If it's a hot sandwich, but, and maybe that's the strategy. Like, ooh, what, you know, I don't know what I want to have. You know, just surprise me. Ooh, look at this. Hot sandwich. It would only have been more mysterious and more enticing if they put the word mystery. If the label said hot mystery sandwich, I'm getting that sandwich. Hot sandwich wasn't enough for me. And there was at the time, there was a large stack of hot sandwiches ready to be picked up. And that the store's well stocked. You know, the mini mart, plenty of 20 ounces, plenty of pepperoni rolls, plenty of boxes of popcorn, plenty of everything. So it's not an indictment on the hot sandwich. It's just the flip side to, wow, I really want to be surprised by the sandwich choice is someone could say, and not me, but someone could say, I want to know what kind of sandwich it is before I buy it. And if they had a label somewhere else and I missed it, that's on me. But my experience was, hey, do you want a hot sandwich? And my answer was yes, but I would like some more information. And I didn't want to ask somebody behind the counter what kind of hot sandwich it was. I was fascinated. I thought about it way too much. But hopefully, if I go back to the Coliseum this season, they have hot sandwiches. And I'm going to try it the next time. I have talked about it enough and thought about it enough. I do, in fact, I want a hot sandwich.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket.
There was a twofer today in the Coliseum. There were two open door exhibitions. The women had an exhibition right after the men's game. They were playing against Fairmont State. You have three replacements in the starting lineup. So you lose J.J. Quinterly, you lose Kaya Watson, you lose Kylie Blackstein. You pick up two players who were on the team last year in Sydney Woodley and Jordan Thomas, and you add somebody from the transfer portal in Kiara Wheeler. And just like the size discrepancy on the men's side, big size discrepancy and athleticism discrepancy between Fairmont State and WVU. And in that first quarter, Fairmont State's first possession ended in a 10-second backcourt violation because that's what WVU does. I get back home tonight. I see that apparently Fairmont State did not score a field goal in the second half. So that tracks when the way WVU plays on the women's side going against Division II competition. You could see that that is not shocking to me. What do you learn from WVU? What did I learn in that first quarter? They look taller. They look bigger. They're starting Wheeler. Both Wheeler and Thomas, who are front court presences. It's interesting to see Wheeler in the press. Seems, as always, very aggressive guarding the inbound when West Virginia has a made basket. Wheeler has to play back a little bit. She's probably not as aggressive as what Kaya Watson was in the press, and Thomas is playing back. So we'll see what that looks like once an opponent breaks the first line of the press, what it looks like from there, because that is essentially within the press a downgrade. But it's hard to – who does what Kaya Watson did for this team? It's hard to duplicate that. It's just going to look different. Didn't learn a ton in that first quarter, other than I feel now what I felt a couple of weeks ago, in that we're going to learn what WVU looks like post Kaya and post JJ and post Kylie when they play Duke at the Greenbrier on November 14th. That's when we'll know what's going on. But the women played their first game in 8 calendar days from this recording. The guys play it their first game that counts 9 days from now. For the podcast, there's one more preseason episode coming. I'm going to think about and give my season prediction then. I know you're waiting with bated breath for that. And then the basketball counts from every time you see WVU play basketball from now until March, it counts. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one: Apple Podcasts, Overcast Podcast, Spotify Podcast, Amazon Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt, WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 0 wins and they have 0 losses.